You've got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This is a top five sports story in the history of South Florida.
Marlins, right?
Playoffs after they lost 18 players, shortened season. Dan, welcome aboard. And America's going to get to know the Marlins on ABC at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. Why on ABC? I don't know the last time there's been a baseball game on ABC, but there they are, Marlins, Wednesday. Biggest thing in town on Wednesday.
Had to have been like 95, something like that.
I know how to get Billy upset to point out that they've got the worst run differential of any of the playoff teams. They were outscored by 40 runs this year.
You're so funny, Dan.
The Phillies, the Mets, and the Nationals had better run differentials.
And guess what we have? A playoff spot. And guess what the Mets have? Last place.
That is, well, the Nationals have last place. But
they were tied. Last place, Mets.
Want me to apologize to Derek Jeter, because the team went in this mutated season, two games over 500, got outscored by 40 runs.
Why can't you be happy for other people? Honestly,
I am happy.
It's only Pat Riley's happiness that you care about. If anything happens to any other team in town, you're upset about it.
I am happy for Chris Cody because he left his house last night nude, freckled, screaming because he felt like a winner. But I can't be happy for people like you who are happy about Marlins' success, but then ignore everything else. You are projecting. You are accusing me of the thing you are. We can't engage you on anything except the Marlins because you don't want to talk heat.
False. Talk about Forged in Fire, Masked Singer. There's lots of things I'm into. Here's the thing. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this. If everybody's like a rah-rah cheerleader for the Heat on every station all the time, it's not great, and it's kind of annoying. So I have to let you guys know, hey, look, there is another side. Like, everybody and also, everybody in America doesn't hate the Heat. I don't know why you guys keep saying this, that the Heat are the bad guy that everybody hates. Nobody hates the Heat in America. Why do we keep saying
that? You don't think that America dislikes Miami in general? You don't think Beepo, no. Your friend Beepo, is somebody that is hated throughout the country?
No. I mean, I don't think so. Why do you think they hate the Heat? The Heat are like the lovable team in the playoffs this year. You really think everybody hates them?
No, Bill, I just think that they don't really like Miami. The fans didn't feel like Miami was deserving of LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh. That's really, I mean, the country didn't feel like this city deserved that.
But who deserves that, right?
I mean, big picture. I guess like better basketball cities, I think fans felt like they deserved that team.
Did you just utter the Celtics? No, before you corrected yourself appropriately?
Yes, I'm not.
This loser franchise that I am told is a historic franchise because they won all their titles when there were eight teams in the league has won one title in my lifetime. I'm a 34-year-old man with a daughter. Enough with the promos of the banners none of you were alive to see. The Miami Heat are now the Celtics. Back the off my timeline. Get the hell away with my promo time. How about you give the Miami Heat some credit and the Miami Marlins as well? Hell of a weekend we had here.
And the University of Miami.
50 burger on FSU. 50 burger. I've never seen that before in my life. 50. They suck. They're a terrible team. I remember crying when Ryan Clement lost 47-0. Oh, that's what you do to a shit team. That's a worse team on our schedule. Blew them out. Oh, what a weekend.
You cried because Ryan Clement lost 47-0?
Yeah, and there were a lot of tears in Tallahassee, I guarantee you. Pathetic program.
Has Mike Ryan talked himself into, because LeBron did the thing to close out the Nuggets, and you know that he's, in my opinion, the best basketball player to ever walk Earth, and I don't understand how he's still doing this with this kind of mileage on his body. I don't understand the greatness of that game five at that age. And I, at any time in history, would have picked the Lakers. There's one time I would have been wrong, the Pistons beating the Lakers of Shaq and Kobe. But I might be able to talk myself into this one. Weird season, bubble. You saw how the Heat against a very good defense. The Celtics are a very good defense. You saw how they shot last night.
Yep.
And in a game that Boston needed to save its season, they're getting, the math you want on another team's scorers is allowing a point or fewer per shot. And Tatum had fewer points than shots, and Marcus Smart had fewer points than shots, where he's taking 22 shots. I mean, you
had 20 points on 22 shots.
You want to go into that game. You tell me before that game, Marcus Smart is going to shoot 22 times. Have at it.
I got so happy when he had it cooking at the beginning because I was just building confidence for him to take bad shots. And you saw the bottom fell out in that second half. Jaylen Brown's a weird player because I really like his game, but he kind of disappears. And it's a pretty simple formula for Boston, really. Unless it's just really hard for that guy to get to 25 points. But if that guy has a really good game, they win all the time.
He was 10 of 17 last night. Jaylen Brown does disappear for minutes at a time. But he was 10 of 17,
no,
28
he,
points.
He was good. And I was so happy that Marcus Smart was taking the shots over him. That's a very weird dynamic.
The whole thing was interesting to watch, though, Stugatz, because as everything tightened up, that was a really wonderful first half of basketball. That was a great competitive game.
Yes.
But the way the Heat are playing offense in that bubble, to me, is crazy for a number of different reasons, one of which is that yesterday they decided, hey, Dragic, get out of here for the fourth quarter. Never mind. We're going to go Iguodala. We're going to go Hero. And we're going to go with Adebayo doing the Giannis thing of just dribbling down all the way down the court and then caving in your defense and fouling out Tice. Now, if that's the evolution of his game, because I know he can dribble and I know he can bring the ball up, but cave in your defense the way that Simmons does, the way that Antetokounmpo does with shooters, which is why Duncan Robinson is out there. You got to get the shooters out there. For him to dribble through the paint, Stugatz, and just go right at Tice and foul him out. And then, you know, you got Van Gundy saying, you got to get Williams in the game. Okay, fine. Get right. Williams in the game.
And they did, like, immediately after he said that. But you're right. If Bam could do that, off the dribble, drive to the paint, and dish out to Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic, and the other three-point shooters, especially on a night when the Heat were shooting 48% from three, I mean, it's game-changing to be able to have Bam do that.
I said last week that I don't know how much higher Bam's ceiling can be. But if he adds that,
yes,
if he adds range to his jumper, because Hero, I think Hero's got more. He's going to join us today at 11:30 Eastern. I think Hero's got more room for growth because he's so young and because you could see that he's sort of in the embryonic stages of whatever it is that he's going to be.
He's 3 years younger than De'Aaron King.
How much younger is he than Joe Burrow? How much younger is he?
Joe Burrow could drop Tyler Hero off at school one day.
Billy,
what a joke that was yesterday, by the way, in the NFL. Don't get me started on that.
Oh, you're absolutely
going for ties. Neither team wanted to win that game.
No doubt.
14 seconds left, you don't kick a field goal, you punt the ball, and then you run a play with 10 seconds left. Get out of here.
Billy, I am used to you grabbing the steering wheel and taking the show and driving it into a ditch on purpose, but you went Eagles-Bengals tie in the middle of what we've got going on.
Well, yeah,
on
we're
locally.
Talking about Joe Burrow. I don't know if he's going to come up again, so you got to, you know, you get the ball, you got to shoot, right?
Did you lose in a survivor pool or something?
Yeah, I'm also shocked you went there.
Stugatz, when I came in, Stugatz greeted me with this was good morning. I haven't seen him all weekend. He dropped in my Saturday a happiness I haven't felt in a while about this show when he ended up on College Game Day. And this is how Stugatz says good morning to me. This is how Kamara keeps winning me fantasy games. That's how he said hello. That's the first thing he said to me. And he knows good and well I don't care. He might as well have said just bleep off.
I mean, it's the second weekend in a row that it's come down to Kamara. I think it was Monday night last week, Sunday night this past weekend. Kamara having a big season. He is good.
There was so much happening behind the scenes in regards to how that College Game Day thing went down.
Oh, boy.
Well,
The unsung hero is Billy, who had to drive to the Clevelander in the middle of the night for a gag that was never executed.
All right.
And it's not his fault.
All right, I want to hear all about this, okay?
Stugatz, I don't know how he continues to get rewarded for things because they were trying to get a response from him since, like, Wednesday. Didn't answer a single email on anything. Didn't get back to anyone on College Game Day. And then on Saturday when we're trying to say, hey, Stugatz, like, it seems like things have fallen through and you're going to be the celebrity guest picker. It was like looking for a missing person. We had to call 30 times, text, no responses. I think finally the way they got to him was Mike called his wife.
Yeah, he did. He called Abby very early. We were both sleeping. But first off, Bill, it started off as you and I in a virtual room where maybe Rhys Davies would go to us.
I mean, no, it started off with that being the plan and you not getting back to anybody. Should we save this for Big Suey because this is more national?
I don't mind talking about this. I think people want to hear about it. I think we're going to be able to make fun of all things Stugatz at any point during this week because nobody told me because they were afraid that I couldn't keep the secret. But I also think they were probably afraid that it wasn't going to happen because of the aforementioned reasons.
Myriad of factors.
Well, just Stugatz. It's not a myriad of factors. It's the Stugatz factor.
The big execution that we had planned. I'll reveal this right now. Certainly wasn't Stugatz being the guest picker. And believe me when I say, that was like ESPN's 17th option. And they even had trouble tracking him down. We were really satisfied with an Easter egg sight gag of Peepo being one of the virtual fans on College game day. Billy even went to the Clevelander at the early hours of the morning to get his Peepo garb. And Billy...
Wait a minute, Billy's Peepo?
I'm sorry. No.
Spoiler alert.
What?
Peepo somehow cracked the code to the Clevelander and got his garb and was banging on a pot and pan for 2 hours, all for naught. Billy, can you explain what happened?
Wait a minute. What happened? Hold on. All right. First of all, let me backtrack for a second. For those of you who do not know, all right, Stugatz was the celebrity picker after Chris Paul and Bill Murray. Stugatz was the celebrity picker on College game day. There were a number of highlights here. First of all, Lee Corso said to him, not so fast, my friend.
Oh, it's a career highlight.
Lee Corso also looked better on air than Stugatz and is double his age, even though Stugatz is all excited about being on College game day and has read a lot of reads for Dollar Shave Club. He looked homeless.
Poor lighting in my office. It really, I blame the camera guy and the producer that came over. They got there 20 minutes before the shot and really terrible lighting. Very nice guys, though. I will buy them lunch one day.
It was amazing, his excuse for not shaving, because he looked like mushed up dog shit, right?
It was great.
And his excuse was a valid one. He's like, I didn't have much time to prepare because this all happened very quickly, which is valid.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to him.
It's not valid. No, he had since Wednesday.
7:30 in the morning.
Wait, he had since Wednesday, really, to know that it was possible.
No, guest picker was never something. I didn't know anything about being celebrity guest picker until 7:30
until I had
in the morning.
To call Abby because we were all trying to track you down.
I was sleeping.
Used that to set this up. I spoke to him afterwards, and he was, I mean, how can you not be thrilled? Stugatz was legitimately happy. That is a dream. That is,
and we all were
that's
very
an I
happy.
Made a moment. Like he's following Bill Murray on that show. It's incredible. But he's like hanging up after telling me he couldn't shave because of the quick turnaround. And I buy his excuse. He's like, all right, I got to go to Diana Rossini's wedding. Looking like that.
Yeah, I did. Yep, I did. 1 o'clock virtual wedding ceremony. Very nice. But I looked like this. Yes, I did. I looked exactly the way I looked. In fact, I didn't change a thing. I went straight from College game day to Rossini's wedding. Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let's
my heat jersey. Yeah.
Let's rewind for a second, because if I were Billy, I would be filled with resentment that Stugatz would take this little care to do something as Billy is breaking curfew in Miami to come to the Clevelander and get a bunch of people gear so you could do what that never happened. Billy, explain this to me. I don't
know. This is what happened, Dan Le Batard. I got ready. I got in. I hacked the system. And then the haters didn't let me on TV because I was too dope and they thought that they were going to keep the U down and it's not going to happen. And I had to drive elsewhere because they warned me in my apartment that I was being too loud. And now you're going to get me in trouble again. But I banged for 2.5 hours and they never showed me on the television.
Mike, what was the plan?
You heard from your HOA people.
They said keep it down, and I said, shut up, haters.
Oh, boy.
Can't keep the U down. And they couldn't keep the U down, just like FSU couldn't keep the U down. and someone's knocking on my door. Hold on a second.
All right. So what was Billy supposed to do, Mike?
They have virtual fans, and the plan was for him and Sugats to just be the virtual fans on like one of those comebacks. There was some discussion, hey, maybe Reese will have some crosstalk with Sugats, but it's a
and
nice.
And they kept telling me in my ear, 3 minutes. 3 minutes, and I was banging on my cazuela with my cazuela on my coffee maker. And I was making so much noise, I was getting so dope with my t-shirt that said, get the county and everything.
Wait a minute.
And they never showed me.
Wait a minute. Who knocked?
And I'm telling you right now, College Game Day, I will never appear on your show again. No, I never did, but I will never do it
still
again.
Still happens.
I will not do it again.
What happened?
Mark my words.
What just happened? You're whispering now because some neighbor knocked on your door because you're being too loud again at early in the morning?
I've gotten too many warnings, Dan. I don't know how many warnings there are after a final warning, but there's been two so far, and I'm not going to press my luck right now.
Oh, the HOA knocks on Pipo's door, and Pipo's there with like a Cuban flag, bandana, and a cazuela, and he's like, oh, apologetic or saying, shut up, hater.
I told him shut up hater last time, and then someone explained to me that's not how this works. So I've heard that it's very difficult to move right now, so I have to play ball. But that won't get me down for long.
So things escalate pretty quickly. From Friday evening to Saturday morning. Shout out to Jonathan Wiley, who used to be a Marty Smith's field producer and is now working with College Game Day. He actually made like the virtual fan thing happen, and we were so pleased with that. I don't know if you know the show's history with College Game Day, but the fact that we've turned this around to the point that Sugats is a guest picker is insane. So we're all set for virtual.
Why don't you tell people what the show's history with?
Well, I don't want to relive like your mistakes with Lee Corso. Let's just leave that in the past. Dan.
I wouldn't mind reliving those mistakes with Lee Corso.
You didn't know, you didn't know Lee Corso had health problems. And when he joined us on the air, you made a very bad joke at the time that's only aged more poorly.
Well, hold on a second. For in my meager defense, because this is the only time I've ever sat in a meeting with the one executive who we bump against most frequently. It's the only time I've spent any time with him, and it's before I even worked at ESPN. And it was to explain myself because Lee Corso, and anybody who knows me knows I'm going to feel terrible about this, Lee Corso came on with us after Mean Gene Okerlund had been coming on with us drinking during the day in Florida from the golf course. And Lee Corso came on with us, and he was slurring a little bit, and I asked him if he had been drinking, and I wasn't making a joke. I was asking him if he was drinking during the day.
Well, we were getting a lot of texts, and you felt the need to read the texts. I think you pointed out that texters are asking, and you did it playfully, not knowing that Lee Corso had a very public health moment. So it was a bad look, and they were right to hold resentment. Like, and you were right to apologize. I know you called Lee Corso and apologized.
Oh, I was horrified. Like, anybody who knows me knows I'm not going to do that on purpose. I didn't know that he had a medical ailment. And so anyway, regardless of all of that, is that the extent of our history with College Game Day? Because I thought you were going to mention something else, like just the fact that there, when Herb Street and Fowler come on, sometimes you know we're too playful, or I call Carl Ravitch a traffic cop.
Reese Davis,
that's a big fine. Yeah, Jesus,
you should
man.
Just stop talking.
God.
You should just stop talking. I was trying to sweep.
I mean, you're undoing everything I did over the weekend.
Yeah,
I mean,
but we've improved. We've developed personal relationships with Reese Davis. Chris Fowler's friendly. Herb Street smiles when he sees Sugats on camera. We're friends with the bear. We've improved this, and we've gotten over what was admittedly a horrible mistake that you since apologized for. So we were just supposed to be virtual fans in Pipo and Sugats. Pipo was very actively getting back on the email chain from what's that Gmail account? I think is something Pipo is dope. I don't know.
Pipo is dope at gmail.com. I'm very prompt and responsible when it comes to business inquiries.
but Sugats is silent. At least he's not replying all, which leads me to believe he's not replying at all. And then I get a phone call. I get an email in that email chain that I'm CC'd on saying, big changes, get back to me immediately. And I'm figuring, oh, well, they've just got bumped and this is unfortunate. And then I get a phone call at like 6:45 in the morning from Jonathan Wiley, the field producer, saying, hey, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, try me, because I think Stugatz is up to some shady shit. He's like, he's got to be the guest picker. I'm like, cool. It still doesn't register. And then we talk. I'm like, wait a second. You mean like the end of show guest picker? And they're like, yeah, J-Lo passed and we had the Miami Heat, but the Miami Heat lost game 5. So after they ran through the entire Miami Heat roster passing on the guest picker, they settle in on Stugatz because it's not a show like ours. They kind of have to have the run of show built in by a certain time. So Stugatz wins.
It's pretty incredible how fluid that show is, like leading up to when the show's going on, because like, not to reveal too much, but going back and forth, like the, when we were possibly going to appear like in the background or whatever changed a couple different times. Like, okay, it's going to be this time, but you got to show up at this time. And it went back and forth. So like, there's a lot of moving parts on that show. And then in the morning when they said big changes, we just assumed like, oh, they'll just change the time and they'll tell us to sign on a little bit later, whatever. And then we got that news, which was kind of funny because A-Rod recorded a video teasing Stugatz.
So they
got
to
A-Rod, and he even said Stugatz's name, but J-Lo couldn't do it, I guess.
There were a number of things that I would consider the highlight. I mean, just the general way you looked. Again, the fact that you looked worse appreciably than an 80-year-old man.
Right, thank you.
But also, Stugatz being just so generally spoiled and entitled that Reese Davis would have to say to him out loud, Stugatz, I got to get back in here, because he was just ruining the flow of their show by continuing to talk, even though they had probably told him a number of different times, hey, we've got to keep this moving. And not only that, all the picks going afterwards, Stugatz, had to be rushed even more because you wouldn't shut up.
When Carl Ravitch is sitting in the center of all of this, College Game Day, and he throws it to me, and I make a pick, and I throw it up to Lee Corso, right up the turnpike, okay, the Florida Turnpike, and Corso gives me a not so fast, my friend, I am sorry. That thing is not bouncing right back to Reese Davis or Carl Ravitch, whoever hosts that damn show. I am going to fist pump and say yes, because I have waited my entire life for the coach to say to me, not so fast, my friend. It was a career highlight, that, and A-Rod calling me the one and only Stugatz. I mean, amazing.
When I did finally get in touch with Stugatz in the morning, I'm like, Stugatz, I've been trying to track you down. Have you talked to the producer, all this stuff? He goes, listen to me. The only thing I want out of today is to get a not so fast, my friend. That's it. That's all I want.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because that is another highlight. Him just shouting yes was wonderful, but Stugatz is using that as camouflage. That's not why it is that the aforementioned Reese Davis said to you, I got to get back in here. It wasn't the yes. It's because you were just talking too much on something where I'm sure they had told you to get, you know, move it, to keep it moving.
I don't know if you got to see the tease of Stugatz being the picker, but there were technical issues. So it was Reese throwing to Stugatz and Stugatz just smiling, holding up a hammer.
Yes.
And not really responding. So it was just perfect. But I've watched all the College Game Day guest picking segments, and they've all been done on Zoom. This is the first time that they actually had a TVU unit out there. And Stugatz was so great at moving that along. It was the most seamless picking segment.
He was very good at throwing it. Let's go to coach. Throwing it around the horn. Yes,
I was. I felt so at home. I was so surprised
by that. I was so surprised that Stugatz remembered, didn't get carried away with just the joy of shouting yes and just being happy to be there, that he remembered to hit the note when he was supposed to, because there was a little delay on Kirk Herbstreit, right? So it sort of threw things off a little bit.
By the way, Kirk Herbstreit calling that game with Chris Fowler and making it so seamless. It was a truly clean broadcast. They were 1,000 miles apart. That was insane. So I hear from College Game Day in the morning to rewind the conversation. And then the oblique settles in, which is, now we really need to get a hold of Stugatz, because the cute stuff has failed him upwards to a point where now he's the guest picker. But we really need to hear from Stugatz so we can send a production crew to his gated community. And this could be done because they need to lock this in. Text Stugatz, nothing. It's 7:30. He's got kids. I don't know if he's awake. I don't know if he's sleeping, but I do know that whatever's going on, I need to get a hold of him. So I call the bat line. Abby, surely the responsible wiener is going to help me out. Ghost, nothing from Abby. nothing. Now, in reality, only a couple of minutes passed by from that missed call to Abby and a return call
but
back from Stugatz.
A lifetime of Stugatz behavior got into your...
Oh, I was panicking. I was panicking because also part of me wants to keep this so secret, not just to respect that show, but also I kind of get the feeling, given our recent history here, that if it gets out that Stugatz is a guest picker with a couple hours to spare, someone's going to shut that shit down. So, like, we need a covert operation to turn what was just a sight gag for our fans that maybe they see, maybe they don't, into a huge win. Great promotion for the show, ESPN's best studio show, using Stugatz, the co-host of the Dan Le Batard show with Stugatz, as their guest picker. An eternity passes by, but it was only 4 minutes. I break the news to Stugatz, and he is just amazed at where his career has gotten to.
Yes, yes.
He was like, holy shit, are you for real?
I realized the gravity of the situation, of the opportunity. I did.
What
and then
time?
I sprung into action at 7:40, and then I sprung into action
by not shaving.
Exactly right.
I sprung into action by giving
them the combination to the gated community.
I don't know if you guys have ever been on College Game Day. I have, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. I didn't have time for shaving. I had to send her my picks, 15 picks or so. I had to do a little research. There were conference calls. I had to reschedule lacrosse practice. There was a lot that goes into being on College Game Day. You get, perhaps one day you will find out if you ever have that opportunity. I have, and I'm telling you, when I say I sprung into action, I had a million things to do, and I didn't have time to shave. I mean, sorry. I didn't have time to do anything.
How did you have lacrosse practice when you were already supposed to be on College Game Day?
Well, it was scheduled for a 9 to 10:30. I was on College Game Day at 11:30, but I wanted to be prepared with my picks, so I let practice a little bit early.
It's amazing how easily the lacrosse commitments can move when it benefits you.
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. You're right. If it benefits me, I'll cancel tournaments myself if I have to, you know?
I thought you did great. The only thing when I was watching from the, when people was watching from the virtual room banging his pot and pan and coffee maker and all that stuff was when it got to, I think it was Army was playing Cincinnati or Navy was playing Cincinnati that you didn't throw in a thank you for your service. But aside from that, you did great.
I'm so upset.
Yeah,
I'm
you
so
should have thought everybody for their service.
So upset. Yeah. But I picked Cincinnati. I think they won, right?
Cincinnati did win.
Yeah. How'd you do?
Mississippi State is pissed. Number one, because they have no idea who he is.
Right.
And he said, LSU's going to win this game easy because their backups are better than Mississippi State starters.
Oops.
So that's gone viral around Bulldog Nation.
Do you have any other great regrets? Things that you didn't get off? You got off the air and you're like, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. Any other regrets other than saying that you thought LSU was going to destroy Mississippi State and Mike Leach and them boys pulled off the upset of the weekend?
No, I felt pretty good about it. Billy's right about thank you for your service. I probably should have done that. Mike gave me beforehand a great, and I give Mike total credit here, was a great line, the hammer line, where I had a smaller hammer saying I don't carry quite the hammer that Pat McAfee carries, obviously.
That got a big laugh, Dan, when he made fun of his penis size relative to Pat McAfee's.
Yes.
Stugatz got a lot of laughs. Stugatz got more laughs than anyone who was on there. And again, he also got the reprimand. I got to get back in here, Stu. Did you even hear that?
No. Reese said that to me? I mean, that's an outrage. I mean, I was doing him a favor. I mean, geez.
All right, so we started here today with the local hour, and I want to get into what's happening with the Marlins, because it's fair for Billy to jump in here and say that the Marlins are a sweet surprise story that is historic in the history of South Florida sports, although that's not where I was going to start the show. I was going to say that the 96 Panthers, both Marlins teams that have won the title, and the 1983 championship Miami Hurricanes, that those are the four surprise stories in the history of South Florida. And I believe you can make the argument, but both of these, now it's a weird season, and look, a third of a baseball season is not representative of how good you are, but regardless, with the season we've been given, the Marlins are in the playoffs. So are the Reds, but whatever. The Marlins are in the playoffs. And so I wanted to ask Billy how he experienced the entirety of this weekend because he was wanting to fast forward through the weekend and just get to the results so that he didn't have to sort of have the pain of whatever Heat fans, for example, were feeling last night when they're watching the third and the fourth quarter and you're getting scared. You're getting scared because all of a sudden Jaylen Brown is stealing the ball from Tyler Hero and ending up with easy layups and you're getting scared. Billy, what was your level of fear? Or they did you a favor by clinching as soon as the series started against the Yankees by winning the first game. But the first game went extra innings and they coughed up a lead late in that. And I would imagine you in the ninth inning of that game were probably saying, that's it, we're doomed, we're going to lose the rest of our games by a million runs and we're not going to make the playoffs.
My wife looked at me and said, I've never seen you like this during the ninth inning of the Marlins game. It was anything but smooth sailing. They coughed up the lead. We don't need to get into whether Sandy should have pitched further than Sandy pitched. That's not something we need to get into today. And then Monte Harrison kind of had a base running blunder, but benefited from him getting hit in the back with the ball, so he didn't get thrown out at third base. And then they clinched and all was fair. All was right in the world again, Dan. Thank God that that happened on Friday because I could not have dealt with two more days of that. And then looking to see what the Brewers and the Reds were doing and scoreboard watching. It was just, oh, this season, Dan. And now here's the thing. I'm excited about the fact that the Marlins are in the playoffs, right? But we're playing against Sarah Spain. And if things go poorly, we're never going to hear the end of it from Sarah Spain, right? I think that we can agree on that. Like, I don't think that Sarah's going to be a graceful winner if the Cubs do, in fact, beat the Marlins. So we have to kind of deal with the commish for a series here. And I'm not sure how excited I am about that because I feel like she's going to be kind of picking on the Marlins a little bit.
Well, Bill, you can't lose. I mean, it's the Cubs and the Marlins. The Cubs are the prohibitive favorite. No one expects the Marlins to do anything. I mean, your house money.
And
right
you
now,
still have fun. You still have the Bartman series. Like you still have over her
forever.
Yeah, like you won the title that year, and they had Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood.
Yeah, who could forget Steve Bartman, huh? What magical times they were. And you know what else we have? The pitching. Because I'm telling you right now, the Marlins are going to win that series against the Cubs, and then they're going to play the Braves, and then that's going to be bad. So hopefully we don't play the Braves. But if they play the Reds, watch out if they play the Reds.
All right,
Reds,
so how do you want the staff to set up? Like, who do you want to go in the first game? Like, you, what do you want this to look like?
All right, well, let's get out the piece of paper and the notebook here. All right, we have Sandy who can pitch. The good thing is that they did this early, right? So they've had some days to set up the rotation the way they want. They have Sandy who's probably going to pitch game one, I'm assuming, right? Do you think he's going to pitch game one, Dan?
I don't know. I was reading stuff. I was thinking that I'd prefer to see Sixto because he's a bigger prospect. And all this season is all about sort of building momentum to future seasons.
Billy, who's game one for the Cubs? Is it Lester or is it Yu Darvish?
I mean, I think Yu's going to be definitely in one of two of the first two games. They had another.
He's been so good this year.
Darvish
has
been
great. I mean, yeah, he's been his ERA. Like, I'd be scared of him.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope Sixto pitches one of the two games, but he's had two not so great starts in a row. So maybe they'll put him game three and hope to get. I think it all depends on how game one goes, right? And then you have Pablo and Sixto that you can flip flop. I mean, are we really breaking down the Marlins rotation? Who cares?
No.
This is so exciting, Dan. Are you excited?
It is exciting.
I'm going to waste so much money on merchandise. And if they only last two games or three games, I'm going to be so upset with myself that I bought all this postseason gear. Because honestly, things have worked out as a Marlin fan for my life, right? Where I buy like, oh my God, the wild card shirt and the National League Championship Series shirt and the World Series, and they win all of that stuff, right? I've not experienced the feeling of buying a Respect Miami 2020 postseason shirt and a hat that says postseason 2020 and have them get swept out in two games or something, because that would be a disaster.
Mike
right?
just bought
if I spend all that money Mike- and they just lose right away, what am I going to do with that? The whole time I'm going to look at the hat and I'm gonna be like, oh, what could have been? They could have done this. And then I'll just replay whatever goes wrong in the games in my head over and over again.
Why don't you tell the people what you purchased last night, Mike?
I bought the NBA Finals hat that the Miami Heat were rocking. Spent like $50 on what might end up being a second place hat, but whatever. It's fire. And I like what they're doing with this timeless design where it just says NBA Finals on it as opposed to saying Eastern Conference Champs. Because if you lose in the finals, the chances of someone remembering, hey, you lost those finals, I mean, not very high. I have an NBA Finals hat that they won after they won an Eastern Conference title in a Finals that they ended up losing against the Spurs, and no one ever calls me out on that one. So I'm really happy about this.
So here's my question to you. Because you bought all that stuff last night, right? And I know people that bought the postseason stuff, and they're like, oh, I'm going to put it on my credit card, right? But I know how this works. I'm not going to get it for 3 weeks, right? So why am I going to buy something online that I'm not going to get for like 3 weeks? I need to find the store that sells it. And I don't know if the Marlins store is open in front of Marlins Park. I would assume that's a good place to get this stuff. But I want to stock up on some of this postseason gear and then regret it in 2 weeks. But I don't want to buy it now and then have something bad happen. And then like a week and a half from now, I get like a knock on my door, and it's not a noise complaint. It's a knock on my door because a package has arrived. And it's like, oh, here's your postseason. And it's like, oh, we just got swept by the Cubs. I don't want this anymore.
Couldn't you return it though, Billy? Isn't that, aren't we in the return?
Oh, that's a whole thing. First of all, Corona's ruined returns in a lot of situations, right? But not just that. Then I have to go to like a UPS store or something, and then I need to print out the label. And at that point, it's like, do I want to waste 2 days trying to return this gear? Do I just count my losses and wear it around anyways and then just be depressed anytime I wear it? This is taking a real turn. This is supposed to be a happy conversation, and instead we're talking about possible negative outcomes for the... You're not going to do this to me, and I know I've really been doing this to myself.
You did this. Man.
I didn't do. I went to you to celebrate the Marlins season, and then you did this to yourself.
Is this a straw man? Because I know you have to apply context to this season, and everyone's like, well, you know, they're barely over 500. This is, they've expanded the playoffs. This is a mutated form of the playoffs. But I
don't get me started on Bob Nightingale. By the way, go on.
Well, no. I do want to get you.
I'd like to get you started on Nightingale.
I'd like to get you started on that. But I will say, everyone played by the same rules, and the Miami Marlins were more behind the eight ball than any other team. Their entire team got COVID-19. They somehow overcame that.
Sandy did, right? Didn't Sandy also get COVID?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does Sandy have a last name?
Alcantara.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if you apply, if everyone's playing by the rules and the Marlins have the cards stacked against them in a way that no other team does, it's a massive achievement. And I will say, they did it on the four-year anniversary of Jose Fernandez passing away in that boat accident. I needed some feel-good. The Marlins were on that second TV, and as the Heat game was slipping away, turned my attention to the Marlins. And seeing Mattingly react in the way that he did, and the story came out from his wife that he has a wristband with number 16 on it, and seeing Mattingly hold that wristband up in team photos, goosebump type of moment. And I don't have that connection with the team, and part of me feels really bad for people that are as passionate about the Marlins as Billy is, because you have this Cinderella story that in the history of South Florida sports might ring eternal, right? But unfortunately, it's happening because of an unprecedented pandemic congruent to Miami's greatest professional sports team underdog story, the Miami Heat.
It's the worst. It's like LeBron all over again. The Marlins got the new stadium, and like game two was empty because everyone was going to watch the Heat and Thunder play all over again.
Durant was in town.
On the same page? Can't we get on the same page? And this Nightingale, I think it was Nightingale. I don't know. And if it wasn't Nightingale, I'm sorry, but I'm sure you've said something negative about the Marlins anyway, so I'm not sorry. Everybody had their little jokes before. Oh, look at what's going to happen with Miami. They're going to make it into, they're going to be the first team in the history of the sport to make it into the playoffs with a losing record. Didn't happen. You know who got in with a losing record? The cheater Astros, which everybody's forgot that they've cheated except Stan Van Gundy, who was going off on the Astros yesterday for some reason. And I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing God's work is what he was doing. And you know who else got in with a losing record? The Brewers got in with a losing record. So the Marlins and your funny jokes and games about, oh, look, the Marlins are playing with the same attendance this year that they play with every other year. Keep laughing, bozos, because your beloved Red Sox didn't get in, and your world championship Washington Nationals didn't get in, and all these teams that you thought were going to be so great did nothing. And you know who did? The Miami Marlins. And you're going to have to deal with it for at least two games, maybe three if necessary.
Yeah!
Fired up!
Yeah!
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.